Jesus. I'm swinging with Jesus. Amen. All right. So this morning, I just want to make an announcement here. I just want you to know that you know that we have changes going on. We have John here. We have all kinds of new people coming in, and that's good. And I just want you to know that I'm going to be here as long as the Lord gives me strength and health, which He has done, and I'm really blessed by that. And I'm not going anywhere. I expect that time in the distant future, some of you will come to my going home service, but I'm not ready to go there yet, obviously. So I just want to clarify that, and the reason for that is that there was some rumor or something that I was leaving the church in 6 months for Florida. Sounded like a good idea, by the way, you know, but after this winter. But no, but we will be traveling more, spending more time away, but that we want you to know. But we have a great church here, and I'm just so blessed by you folks that I wouldn't want to be any other place, and I mean that sincerely from my heart. All the way from my heart. Okay. So this morning, we're going to do something a little bit different, but not a whole lot different. I just want to talk to you a little bit and talk to you about things that are going to be very useful for you in your life, things that will help you, adjustments that you can make in your life to basically walk with God in a way that you may not have walked with Him before. And I'm hoping today and believing today that God's going to give me the grace to bring this particular word to you and that we'll be blessed by it. I want to begin. We began with the Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Now, which we now call Palm Sunday, but one of the things that happened is when he got into the city that day, there's two different accounts, but in one account, it was kind of late in the afternoon. So he left there and he went to a little town called Bethany. Bethany was a short distance. Well, I don't know how long it is. I haven't been able to kind of map it out, but it was short enough that Jesus would spend with his disciples every night in the town of Bethany. It was a town on the Mount of Olives, where Lazarus used to live. Lazarus lived in that town. And so he would leave Jerusalem, the temple. He'd come down and teach in the temple during the week. And then he would go back up to Bethany. Well, on the way down from Bethany, he basically was walking with his disciples. And Jesus, knowing that this was the end of the road for his life here on earth, I mean, he was going to be raised from the dead, obviously. He knew that. He knew what he was going to go through. But he knew something else also. He knew what you were going to go through in your life. He knew that you were going to face trials, tribulations, and a host of other things that would come your way. And he wanted to provide you a way to gain victory in your life over those things. And what he was going to do now was going to give you, if we would, a way to open up literally the heavens, that the resources of heaven would be available to you in any and every situation that you were going to face in life. But he not only gave it to his disciples, he gave it to you also. And he did this by creating an opportunity to teach his disciples once more about what they needed to know, what they needed to do in order to gain victory here on earth and walk in the power of God. Now, for some of you today, I don't know if everyone here has a personal relationship with God, but I want to say to you that we serve a real God who loves us. Now, he knows you. But you may not know him in an intimate way. You may know about him, but you may not know him. And that's what our brother Earl was driving at this morning or speaking when he got up here that he said was put on his heart. But that's true of all of us. We can always have a personal, deep, living, abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be sure of the fact that we're going to go to heaven. And one of the things that happens in that situation where we, you might say, are born into the kingdom of God by the Spirit of God, is that we have an assurance given to us by the Holy Spirit himself. He comes and he sits upon us, dwells in us, and basically we know that we know that we know that if we were to, God forbid, die today, it wouldn't be so bad, God forbid. It would be a happy day because we would be with him in heaven for eternity. So the thing is that one of the key factors there is about faith, because by grace through faith we come to know him. But faith is one of the key things that we will learn about that runs right through the Bible. One of the two major themes of the Bible is faith towards God. And the other one is the blood of Christ that cleanses us and redeems us through atonement. So as Jesus was coming back, was going back from Bethany, coming down, one morning as they were headed back to the temple, what he saw was a fig tree afar off. So he decides to go to that fig tree and to see if there's any figs on it. And we read that on the next day, when they had departed from Bethany, he became hungry, and seeing at a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if perhaps he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. That's interesting, for it was not the season for figs. Now, Jesus knew the seasons. He knew there was not going to be figs on the tree. Now, his disciples walked in that fig tree with him. Now, could Jesus have said to the fig tree, produce figs, and would it have produced figs? Of course not. If he could take five fishes and five loaves and three fishes and turn them into feed of thousands of people with it, he certainly could do that. But what he does is this. He answered to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples were listening to him. He's speaking to this tree. There's no fruit on it. There's not supposed to be. But he says, may no one ever eat from you again. A few days later, or a couple of days later, or one day later, we're not exactly sure, Jesus has gone to Jerusalem. He's teaching in the temple. He comes back up with his disciples to Bethany at night. And now, as he's coming down from the temple, or back, you know, going towards the temple, I should say, in the morning, they pass the fig tree, and Peter notices the fig tree. And basically, as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered. I want to tell you, when he cursed that fig tree, there's a word that's in the original language there that he used, that basically it was a word that it was utterly destroyed from the very root that it had to the top. Gone. Destroyed. And that's just in a day, this thing is withered up. It's not there. Now, I could give you some thoughts on the fig tree, but that's unimportant today. The fig tree is the opportunity now that Jesus has to speak to you and to speak to me and say, hey, let me show you something. Let me explain something to you so that you will never be without help in your life, that you'll never be without the power of God to help you in your life with whatever it may be that you do, whether it's work, whether it's play, whether it's school, no matter what, I'm going to be there for you. We'll be there for you. So what does he do? Well, he says this to them. Have faith in God. Now, I want you to think about that, because I'm going to say that an awful lot during today. I'm going to say to you, have faith in God. And when I say that to some people, or for a lot of people, even church people, they say, oh, faith, I got to have faith. I don't have any faith. Well, you can have faith. If Jesus said, have faith in God, he meant have faith in God. And this is a very interesting passage for a number of reasons. I want you to kind of just relax in this and think about some of the things that we're going to talk about. Because when he says have faith in God, he's also saying have the God kind of faith. The kind of faith that God has. He just demonstrated it for his people. He just demonstrated it. This is what it looks like. You speak to that fig tree, or you speak to that mountain. Let's see what he has to say exactly. Okay? He said, have faith in God. Truly, I say to you, whoever. Are you whoever? Amen. You're whoever. I want you to know you are whoever. You're one of the whoevers. I'm one of the whoevers, all right? Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you. What an incredible promise that is. When you start thinking about this, it is just an amazing thing. And here's a few things that we just read that. Let's just go through it again and think about some of the things that Jesus is saying here. He said, first of all, we are to have faith in God. Have faith in God. That's the whole point of this message. Secondly, we see that we can release that faith, we can exercise that faith through our confession of faith against what? The mountain. We can speak to that mountain. So what's the mountain in your life? See, everybody has a mountain in their life. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But that's what's really special about this verse, is this mountain. It's one of the most special things about it. Why? Because it's a hyperbole. In other words, an exaggeration that Jesus is using. What is he saying? No matter what you face in your life, no matter how big that may seem, no matter how impossible this mountain can be, I'm telling you right now, if you speak to this and you believe in your heart that, and do not doubt, that basically what you say, what you speak will happen, and that mountain will be cast into the sea. Now, a lot of mountains out there. And basically, I thought about this. I said, what a great opportunity to teach a whole series off of this one particular passage. But today, we're not going to do that. So we see we can release our faith. So what is a mountain? Again, we told you, insurmountable problem that you face. Insurmountable problems come in a lot of forms. They come when you have to pay a mortgage and you don't have a job. They come when it involves another person. Your husband or your wife is in an affair or a thing like that. You can't control somebody else. A child that has a sickness or just issues that just come up in your life that you can't control. Remember this, there's only a few things under your control. Can you control the weather? No, we can't control the weather. I can't even get it right off my phone, you know, reading that, you know. But the point is here that the only thing that we really have control over is ourselves. What we do with our life. We can make decisions. We can make choices. Each of us can make their own choices. And I'm hoping today, and I'm praying today, that you will make some of those choices. So, what we find is this here. And this is the blessing part. We should be so happy that Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, for the very reasons I was just speaking to you, everybody has an obstacle that comes. We all have them. And we all will deal with them and have dealt with them, some successfully, some unsuccessfully. But you know, one of the things we try to do with people when somebody comes in and they have a problem, we like to find scriptures for them or help them find scriptures. Some of the Bibles even have in the back, got a problem with your marriage, got a problem with finances, whatever it may be. And you can go and you can find that particular promise in the Word of God. But you know what? There's no promise in the Word of God that says that the guy that came in to clean your rugs and ripped them up and disappeared is going to come back and replace that rug. But if you don't have the cash for it and you can't get a hold of them, you need some help from God. See, what I'm saying is, what Jesus did now was, there isn't anything in your life that you will encounter that he is not interested in, that he doesn't want to help you in, and that he will not help you. So that's the important thing here. It's like a promise that's coming to you that covers all of the other promises in the Bible. They're good. And we should look at them. There's over 7,327 promises in the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1:20 says that we should basically to them say yes and amen. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes we can't find that promise. What we find is the issue that we're facing. And that's what it's all about, the issues we're facing. So I want to talk about this for a moment. He also says that if you believe that you have, when you pray, believe that you have received them. And that's another thing too, which is really interesting about the original language here in the Greek, because this is so cool. I love it. Because what God is saying here is, now if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. I love it. Can you imagine that? If I don't have it, in other words, you didn't find it in the book right here, don't worry about it, I'll make it for you. I can make it for you. And it usually is made in the form of faith. In other words, faith is believing. And then you see that faith eventually manifests. And I can give you examples of that in my own life, but I'm not going to take the time to do that today, because that's happened to me, where I've believed God for something, bought a house, and suddenly the bank decides that they don't want to sell it. And meanwhile, I'm all set to move into this thing. They sent a letter that said, okay, you can do this. I get a mortgage and I can't get into the house. And I go by that house and I look at that house, and that house, I know that God gave me that house. That's my house. And I believe God for that house. And a month goes by, 2 months. Meanwhile, I sold my other house. There's a deadline coming. There's a deadline coming. I got to be out of that house. Where am I going to do it? Camp out in the field? We got six kids. What am I going to do? Take them all? We're going to camp in the field? No. I look at that house. Sometimes I didn't want to look at the house, but I go by that house. That house is ours. And you know what? Everything turns around in a week. Bang. Price, everything, all goes through. Just amazing what God can do. He just bring it from what looked impossible into the present. Now, for the sake of, or the purpose of practical application for all of you today, I want you to be able to go home today with something in your hand or in your heart, in your mind, that you can begin to apply so that basically you can receive the blessings of this promise, beginning with faith. But let's just talk about what I chose today. Now, I'm not putting this on you, but I'm going to take the mountain of anxiety. How many of you have ever been anxious in your life? What causes anxiety? Everybody has anxiety. We used to have a preschool and kindergarten here. And sometimes we would find a child acting up in that school, a student that was doing just real good, fourth grader maybe. And all of a sudden they're having problems in class. They're having problems getting along. And my past wife, last wife, I should say, she passed away. She would say, call in the parents. What's going on at home? You guys fighting and arguing in front of the child? Yeah, we're having a tough time in our marriage. Well, let's see what we can do. Now, why would that child have anxiety? Because when you yell in front of your children, you raise your voice in front of a child, when you speak down to your wife or down to your husband, what happens? It brings instability into the hearts of your children. They're afraid. They just have you. That's all they have is you. You're their provider. You're their protector. You're their parent. And suddenly now you put them in a situation now where you have caused them to be anxious and fearful. You want to remember that. And you want to know this. We're going to deal with having no anxiety. And we have plenty of ways of helping you in marriage, but just one example. When a student has a difficult test coming their way, whether it's grammar school, high school, college, sometimes there's a real bunch of tension that comes with it and anxiety as they're facing that test, especially if they haven't studied for it. That really brings on the tension. Now the deadline's coming and now we're going to face the music. Maybe they're being bullied. That's another thing that can happen in school that causes problems with your children. When we're short on finances, and we can't pay the bills, become anxious. When a man is out of work, even if there is a government assistance, he still can become anxious. Why? Because we're providers. Men want to provide. We don't want a handout from anybody. We want to provide for our family. That's part of what we do. We work. And if you have a conflict in your marriage, that brings anxiety. Sin in our life. We get into something, maybe it's gambling, maybe it's whatever it might be, and the next thing you know, this is not going the right way. We're hiding things from our spouse. We're in trouble. That's anxiety comes in. And if you are a millennial, well, you really have tension. Here you are and you're using Lexus. Well, Lexus, tell me where this is. But I've been ignoring Siri. I'm sorry, Siri. I didn't mean to cause this tension between them, you know. We have all kinds of problems, especially with millennials like that. Okay. So bottom line is every human being has a problem, a time of stress, and a time of anxiety. But Jesus has a cure for anxiety. And it begins with, have faith in God. Have faith in God. So get yourself some faith. What? You mean I can get myself some faith? Yeah, you can get yourself some faith. There's a promise in the Word of God that tells you exactly how to do it. So, go get faith. And that promise is in Romans 10:17. And what does it say? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing Spain through the Word of God or the Word of Christ. So what is it saying to you? Simply, put yourself in a place where you can hear God. The best place to put yourself is right here in His Word. That's the first place to put it. In church, but in the Word of God. Looking at it. Talking to God about it. Meditating on it. Sticking with it. Until that faith is spoken into your heart. It's a promise. He will give you faith. Plus, it takes faith to even do that. And that's because God has given to each of us a measure of faith. You all have faith. Faith is the thing that you put your trust in. Faith is the thing that you count on. And what we're talking about here is faith in God. Learning how to trust and put your faith in God. So that's the first thing. So we have three cures for anxiety that I'm going to offer to you today. I figured that one would be enough, but why not give you three? If we can find three cures instead of one and give you some options, that's fine. We'll do that. So anxiety cure number one. Okay. Read the text. Where there's a promise in there, or God assures you of something, read it until you believe that your Heavenly Father is actually talking to you. You mean God's talking to me? Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It kind of grows. Sometimes it doesn't come all at once. It comes a little bit at a time. But if you hang in there with God and you pester God a little bit, which is okay. God doesn't mind that. Sometimes our pestering, I shouldn't say pestering, but I'm looking for a word here, and the word is that we don't quit. Our persistence. What does that? Our persistence. Yes, that's missing in my vocabulary this morning. Persistence. Our persistence. With God. Jesus speaks about that in Luke chapter, I believe it's chapter 10, chapter 9. Now, our persistence is important. You stay with it. Stay with it. And then what happens? You have faith in God. You stay with it until you have faith in God. Anxiety cure first. Here's what Jesus had to say about it. For this reason, he said, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you will eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look for the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth so much more than them than they are? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to your lifespan? You can't increase your life by being anxious. Or basically, and why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, they do not spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown away into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Notice how faith is in God, in his provision, in his love. So the anxiety cure there, right, is looking at what God has to say to you about how much your heavenly Father loves you. Believing that. Some of us don't believe it. I've been in a situation where I basically was trusting God, at least I thought I did. And I got to tell you, everything that I had put my hand to, it all went wrong. Really wrong. And what happened was we had an accountant. We had built this house. I was building houses at the time out in New York. The accountant who we had hired to do his job did his job. We had a tough time because IBM had moved out of the area. And basically, houses were hard to sell. We finally sold the house, and we sold it for a very low profit. The only problem was our accountant forgot to include the land in the cost of the building. And so instead of walking away and paying off all of our debts, we wind up coming out owing money. And I can remember saying to myself, what are we going to do? We had a lot invested in that. Had children that were young, basically babies at that time. And now we're stuck. I'll tell you what, I can remember lying there in bed, talking to Jesus about, Lord Jesus, it was a tough night. I said, all of this just came down. Oh, everything should have been cleared up now. And now instead, I'm in debt rather than prospering. And I said, I made you a partner. You really blew it, Jesus. You really fouled up. After all, I was trusting you. And look what happened. Now, everything's gone down the tubes. But you're my partner in this. How could this happen with you as my partner? It was a no-lose. Well, I had another partner, too. He wasn't that good. But that's okay. But I had Jesus in there, too, right? Some mistakes you make sometimes in hooking up with people that are not of faith and trying to make things work. And in that bedroom, that night, a voice came out of the darkness. And the voice said to me, a literal voice, where is your faith? Have I not sustained you thus far? Look to the lilies of the field. I shook my wife. I said, he was just here. This is what he said. She says, go to sleep, honey. The phone was ringing off the hook every day with creditors coming after me. No phone calls. One day, no phone calls. 2 days, no phone calls. 3 days, phone ring. Brother Ron? Yes? Tom? Just want you to know, I know that you're a man of faith and a man of integrity. This was the supplier of all of the construction, a lot of the construction. He said, I'm not going to be calling you again. Just telling you, I'm praying for you. And I believe you'll pay me, and that's it. You know, time went on that year. We sold another house that we have. We came here to New England to went back into the electronics industry, back into design engineering, and moved out here to Merrimack at the time. That year was the biggest salary I ever made, not from the new job, but from everything that went down. And there was a number of miracles that took place. And I'll tell you what, God is faithful. God is faithful. And even sometimes when we're kind of staggering along, he's still faithful. He'll do these things for us because he loves us. So that's option one there, or I should say cure one. Anxiety cure two. Read the text until you actually believe your Heavenly Father knows your needs and seek first his kingdom, his rule and reign in your life, and you'll have it. That's anxiety cure too. Wow, that's pretty good. Here's what he says. Do not be anxious, cure for anxiety. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. But your heavenly Father knows your need of these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Yeah, some of us are planners for trouble. We got trouble now, but that's not enough. We got to see where the trouble is going to be for months from now. Why do you want a month's worth of trouble when you can just deal with what you have in front of you today? Get through that. Work through that. But that's the cure for anxiety. You need faith. Have faith. Read the text until you actually believe what your Heavenly Father is saying to you. And actually it's in your heart and you know that it's true for you. And then basically confess it, pray, receive it, and relax. Go about your business. Don't go back and, you know, take a time out to the beach, look for a job, do whatever you need to do in that time, whatever is necessary. Take care of yourself, whatever you might be, do it. And God will bring the cure for anxiety. Now, anxiety cure number three, have faith in God. Well, that sounds familiar. Have faith in God. Now we know how to get faith. And this is another cure. Now this one I've experienced also. And this one was a tough one because basically my background is such that, let's put it this way, I did hang out with some unseemly people back when I was a young man in New York. And let's just say that that's enough to say that. But I had a place and something going on in my life here. Now I got a great job. Everything's going good. And all kinds of things start to happen, not so much with me, but with this my sales manager. And he and I are not getting along. So he decides that if my boss, who's the general manager, doesn't fire me, he's got something on my general manager. He's going to blackmail him. So now I'm in a situation, and I really didn't like this guy at all. God bless him and save him. That's all I can say to you. God bless him and save him. That's it. So I'm really, now I have 6 children. Everything's going good. But now the problem is my boss is under tension. He says, well, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm going to have to let you go. I know you're bringing in all of the business here and you're doing this and you do. But he said, he's got me in a corner. I said, well, okay. So I said, well, let me pray. Well, I'm praying. And I come across the scripture in Philippians chapter 4. And here's what it says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. And by the way, I'm having some anxiety now. I'm anxious. I'm angry. I'm thinking maybe I'll make a phone call to New York. And I'll have Bertani send Nunzio up and we'll deal with this guy, you know, we'll take care of him. Now this is, you know, I'm reverting, you know what I mean? Now going back, we'll go back to the lore of the 2x4, you know, we're going to do this. And I'm in the car and I'm meditating on this. And between all of this anxiety, at the same time, I'm doing the meditation here, right? And he says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, that's pretty simple. And then finally, brethren, he said, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there are any excellencies, if there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Okay, Lord, you promised you're going to bless me, you're going to bless me, but I can break his knees. Keep kneecaps. We're going to have his kneecaps broken. That would be real fat. And I'm going there. So finally, I'm driving in the car. And all of a sudden, this peace has come on me. And I said to the Lord, thank you, Jesus, I have it. And right in that car is the voice of the Lord. No, you don't. You don't have it. I said, what do you mean? Satan, I rebuke you. He says, it's not Satan. You don't have it. Well, what do you want from me? He said, will you stop quoting the scripture and do what it says? Hello? Now, I'm believing that God will do this. You follow me? This is anxiety cure 3. I'm believing God will do this for me, but what I'm not doing is what God says to do. I've come to the place where I believe the scripture. I have faith in that. God's given me faith that he'll do this. But now, what is he telling me to do? Pray. Let your requests be made known unto me. I ask for a new job. Within 3 days, I get a new job for less money. By the end of 6 months, I've equaled my former salary. By the end of the year, I've doubled it. That's God. That's how God works. You got to learn how to trust God. That's what he does. So there's a lot that we kind of kick around, but we have to come to the realization that if we do what God says and we stay in the Word, have faith in God, we'll be okay. And there's one thing I want to tack on to this before I step down and finish the message. Jesus didn't just tack it on in Mark 11:25, but he said this, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your transgressions. So I had to let go of that sales manager. Well, I'm not going to do him any harm. I didn't even want to do him harm. I want to pray for him, really, and that's what I began to do. I had to forgive him. He couldn't care less if I forgave him or not. But you know what? When you forgive somebody, it releases you. You get set free. And God's really big on this forgiveness issue. Huge. Very, very important. That's why I hope that a lot of you take advantage of the seminar that Pastor Derry will do today, and that you learn from that, and that there's issues in your life like that, that you let them go. Because with that, you'll be blessed. Now, I hope you've been blessed this morning. So let's stand together as our worship team comes to lead us in a song.